A healthy culture at work is vital for success. I had employees in the past that were miserable at work. I would sit down and tell them, like, look, you spend about three times as much time at work than you do with your family. Life is too short to sit in the job you're miserable at. So look for an organization that has a culture that's going to align with your values and look at making the change.
Welcome to the Tango Tango podcast. Real, raw, and unfiltered conversations with veterans and those who support them. Tune in, be inspired, and walk away stronger.
Hey there, welcome to the Tango Tango podcast. I'm your host, retired First Sergeant Lloyd Knight, and joining me is my favorite CEO in the entire world. How you doing, Scott?
I'm great, Lloyd. I'm the non-retired Air Force data analyst. That's very jealous of the retired first shirt right here, Lloyd. Great to be back with you.
We got a great topic today. You want to cue up the topic there, Scott?
Absolutely. I'm good at cueing things up, I hope. We're talking a really important topic today, workplace culture. Hey, what is it? What are we talking about when we say workplace culture? Why it's important? What impacts it? And what are some elements of really a strong, good, positive workplace culture? All that and a whole bunch more. Lloyd, should be a great conversation, huh?
Absolutely. You know, I've been teaching workplace culture for about 14 years now. I developed different versions of this training in different things. You know, lots of my volunteer work, do a little bit of it in my paid employer, EPS, do it for Leadership Foresight, where I'm a former board member, and then do it for my side business as well. Just because it's so important, most people don't really consider workplace culture when they're looking to transition from the military into the civilian world, or if they're looking to do a job change, they focus on a lot of other things.
That's right.
Job title, pay, benefits, location, you know, who they know, and don't think about culture, which is kind of insane because culture is real important. We're going to go through some of the numbers that showcase how important it is.
Lloyd, excellent way to tee things up. And folks, I want to call something out he just shared. Whether you're a veteran and you're getting ready for a transition, or you're in transition, or you're already interviewing or whatever, make sure workplace culture is not in your blind spot, because it impacts everything you do there as an employee. And if you're not a veteran out there and you're looking at new companies, new opportunities, hey, there's plenty here for you. And we're going to dive in, Lloyd. And let's start with this. Let's start with the basics. Let's define, so everybody's with us, what are we talking about when we say workplace culture?
So really, let's take a look at a formal definition, because, you know, this formal definition is important. Workplace culture refers to the beliefs and the behaviors that determine how a company's employees and management interact and handle, it says outside business transactions, but it's how they handle themselves internally as well. And just think about that, the beliefs and the behaviors, because you can certainly have some beliefs, but if you don't execute those beliefs, your behaviors are going to be very different. You know, oftentimes workplace culture is implied, not expressly defined. You know, I work for UPS in my full-time gig. You know, we've been around since 1907. For most of our history, our workplace culture was expressly defined. And now it's less so. Our culture has changed more in the last 5 to 7 years than I would say probably the 100 years prior to that, Scott.
Constructive dissatisfaction. Wasn't that a big part of the culture there at UPS?
Yeah, that was huge. And that went through me for a loop. You know, I was having a lot of success. I got promoted three times in my first 5 years. Rapidly grew our government revenue. And I remember one of the first projects that I did, it was well executed, on time, made a lot of money. We had a debrief and I got kind of tore up in the debrief, and I didn't know the culture. The culture was like, hey, we're going to be kind of dissatisfied in everything we do, but constructively dissatisfied.
Man.
And but that culture is really changed as well. We don't really hear those terms as much as we used to.
That's interesting. Lord, we're going to have to sit down and talk about that. This is news to me, but I appreciate you sharing that. The anecdotes really make it for me. And I love how you bake those into all of your training and your sessions and your keynotes. I think we're moving next to some factoids and some data that might surprise some folks. I'm going to pull this up here.
Yeah, let's take a look at the data. This first one's my attention stat. Nearly 33% of employees in the U.S. are considering quitting their jobs, while 25% have resigned over the past 6 months, citing toxic company culture as their number one reason for leaving. You know, my full-blown course has a bunch of examples of this. One of my favorite examples is Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
The show that she used to have. You know, she had this outwardly, you know, hey, I'm amazing, I'm funny, I'm warm. And it was nothing like that. It was, she had the toxic of all toxic workplace cultures. Her employees couldn't look her in the eye. Even some guests couldn't look her in the eye. And it eventually all blew up. Great employees were leaving. And as they were leaving, they were kind of speaking out on some of the things that were going around.
Really?
On the sets.
Well, two quick thoughts. Number one, it's sad when I see statistics like this about folks that are just absolutely miserable in what makes their living and where they spend, let's face it, a big chunk of your time, even if you're just working, not just, but you know, no overtime, so to speak, 40 hours a week, that's a ton of time. And for you to be in a place that is really, you know, making you unhappy, that's heartbreaking to me. But secondly, Lloyd, that brings more importance why we want to really stress to folks out there, especially folks that may be new to job seeking, do your homework. Look for some of these tips that Lloyd is going to be sharing about what really points to the type of workplace culture that the organizations you're interviewing have. So that's just a tip of the iceberg with all the data, Lloyd. I got to bring this up here. Tell us more.
Yeah, let's take a look at this. So company culture is an important factor for just 46% of the job seekers. So that is crazy that only 46% are looking at it. And it's even less for transitioning service members, which I think is insane, because whether you're in the Space Force, Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy, Coast Guard, we are all coming from very culture-specific and heavy culture environments. We go to make the transition, and we don't think about culture. 88% of job seekers say that a healthy culture at the work is vital for success. And let me challenge you. And when I had employees in the past that were miserable at work, I would sit down and tell them, like, look, you spend about three times as much time at work than you do with your family. So if you're miserable, you got to make a change. You know, I know it's not always practicable. Life is too short to sit in the job you're miserable at. So look for an organization that has a culture that's going to align with your values and look at making the change. Millennials sort of prioritize people and culture fit above everything else. I think you're just probably more vocal about it than everybody else, because you know, whether you're 18 or 80 in the workforce, I think a culture matters. Having highly engaged employees can lead to get this, Scott, a 202% increase in performance.
Wow.
That's why so many organizations, especially the Fortune 500 companies, focus on culture and try to get culture right. 69%, a whopping 69% of employees said they would work harder if they received more recognition. And I can tell you that was one of the biggest challenges for me when I came from the United States Air Force, where I was a manager, I was a first sergeant. You know, the Air Force does a great job with the recognition, and the coming in to a, you know, a Fortune 40 company, where recognition at the time wasn't really a strong part of our culture. It was hard for me to figure out, you know, how that recognition piece worked. And then around 63% of companies find it harder to retain than hire workers, which is, you want to be able to retain your workers.
That's right.
Because it's expensive to acquire workers. I can tell you, you know, Scott knows my good news. I'm a presidential fellow in the Bush Institute and their veteran leadership program this year. And my veteran leadership project is on veteran retention in corporate America.
Love it.
Because retention is so important. You know, I honestly think retention and recruiting go hand in hand.
Mm. I would tend to agree with you, Lloyd. And I can't wait to hear about all of your experiences in Dallas coming up as part of that program. A good friend of mine joined us on a show on Supply Chain Now not too long ago. And we were kind of talking culture. We're talking health and safety and welfare of employees. And he was advising, mentoring folks maybe, or this is the way he shared, Lloyd. He said, your manager that you have in life at your current job is going to have a bigger impact on your health than your doctor. And I started to think about that. And as weird as it sounds, it's probably true. Management, of course, is a big part that can impact culture, right? Would you tend to agree with that statement, Lloyd?
It certainly could be. You know, I think back, I'm pretty lucky. I haven't had any toxic managers in 20 years in the Air Force and then 18 and a half years at UPS. I certainly didn't always agree with them. I certainly wouldn't always lead like they did, but I didn't have anybody that was so toxic that it impacted my health. And then, you know, I was stressed out at times, but I was able to handle it. Hey, I knew a civilian when I was in the Air Force. He was the station at U.S. Transportation Command. One of the nicest guys I had ever met. Actually served as a clown in his spare time to entertain,
really?
You know, the sick kids. And he had this toxic boss that used to throw things at him.
What?
And so and this guy was absolutely miserable. Unfortunately, he didn't have the opportunity to leave. He was within 12 months of retiring. So if you have that toxic boss, if the culture is wrong in your work section, it can make you sick. I've seen it.
And impact your health. Now, on the flip side, a great manager can really impact your health and mental well-being and mental welfare, which is so important as well. So I was going to add one more thing to what you shared there. You were talking about how fortunate you've been to have 20-year track record of great bosses.
Not great bosses, not toxic bosses. I haven't always had great bosses.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Just not toxic.
Okay, that's an important disclaimer. I appreciate it. All right, so then we're common. I've had the great fortune, the incredible honor of working for some wonderful, innovative, human, decent, salt of the earth people. But I've also, and probably like many of y'all out there, I've had the bad fortune of working with some folks that just were really, they were very business immature, amongst other things. And man, it can make for a very, going back to the statistics, a very miserable Monday through Friday.
You know, Scott, in my expanded course, I actually have slides on how you handle that. And a big one is just self-care. So we have about four slides on self-care. So, you know, how you handle that, how you take care of yourself. Definitely that's very important.
Well, Lloyd, I appreciate that. We're going to have to check out. I am also fortunate that it's been years since the last rather toxic manager that I worked for. But you know what? We learn a lot from the great managers we work for. And we learn probably even more from the bad ones. And you know, kidding aside, I really hope that, you know, when I think about the folks that happen to work for me, I need to poll them and figure out how I can get better. I'm hoping that I'm not going to be involved in their stories 20 years from now. We'll see. All right. So, Lloyd, I got to ask you, you know, there's always a section in every crowd, especially with presentations, keynote sessions like this, that, you know, they're kicked back on their chair. They got their arms crossed. And they're like, yeah, well, so what? That's where we're going next, Lloyd. I want you to talk about why workplace culture is so important. Tell us more.
So for the first one is it attracts talents. And I'm going to tell you about UPS. So UPS, our culture was stagnant, right? 25 years ago, you would have to wear a suit and tie, whether you're coming into a corporate office or if you were management working in the operations, you wore a suit and tie. I actually had a friend who's now retired from UPS. He got wrote up a couple times because he got up from his chair, went to the parking lot to grab something and didn't put on his coat. So our building is a big building. It sits about 1,600 people. Up until about 4 years ago, you could not eat or drink at your desk.
Really?
If you wanted to get something other than water, you had to go down in the cafeteria. And if you bought something from cafeteria, it had to go on a tray. You couldn't just carry it out. Our hair standards were just like the Air Force, right? We could have a very conservative mustache, but no other facial hair. You're limited on piercings, and you could not have visible tattoos.
Wow.
So the a lot of that changed shortly before COVID and over the last couple of years. So why do you think it changed, Scott?
Probably because you're really not able to hire from all pools and really limiting your options in terms of going after top talent. That's my hunch.
Well, yeah, it definitely, you know, people, the generation coming out of college or making their first or second job change did not want to come work in that stuffy environment. And then as things change at UPS, you know, some of our retirement systems changed, we found it harder to retain really good people. So we recognized, hey, we were going to have to make changes in our culture to attract the talent and then retain it. Why? Because it impacts happiness and satisfaction. Mm. You know, the people want to come to work and be happy. And then as we saw on those other slides, if you're happy, if the culture aligns with your values, if you have that good boss, it's going to affect your performance. You're going to work harder and your results are going to be up to, what did we say, 202%?
Yep. Love it. And I love your factual, your data-based approach here to helping folks, Lloyd. All right. So now, in this next chapter, we're going to talk about some of the things that could impact workplace culture. And I think this is where we start to kind of build a laundry list of things that folks interviewing out there can be looking for, I think. But Lloyd, tell us more here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, on my expanded course, one of the things we talk about is things to look for. If you're going to apply for a job and they're interviewing you offsite and they're never bringing you on site, be wary, because they're probably hiding one of these things they don't want you to see. So there are a bunch of things that impact workplace culture. The first one is leadership. You know, the way your leaders communicate and interact with the employees, what they emphasize, the vision, the mission for the future. Do they celebrate victories? Are they trusted? You know, like, right, the couple, you know, bad bosses I had, you know, it was in integrity issues. They weren't toxic, but I didn't trust them. And so that definitely impacted workplace culture, impacted my happiness. I don't think it impacted my performance, but it could have. Yep. Management. So we all know management and leadership is very different. Manage is how your organization is managed. It's systems, it's procedures, it's structure, it's hierarchy, controls, goals, empower employees to make decisions and support. I have a good friend of mine who was also in the Air Force. He went right into Intel. And he had a hard time with the culture because it was so much more relaxed, the management style. He didn't even have a place to go. He would come in and find his own seat. And then their hierarchy was very different. So his first day, he showed up at 7:45 in the morning, and nobody else showed up until about 8:45.
Wow.
And it was the way it was managed. Not right, not wrong, just different.
Yeah.
So it really impacted, you know, his job satisfaction until he was able to adjust. You know, workplace practices, onboarding is a big one. I came from the U.S. Air Force where we had big time onboarding. We had sponsors. And you know, when I made that transition, I was shocked about how little onboarding was. You know, benefits, rewards, recognition, training. In corporate America, you know, if you have a technical job, there's going to be training, but a lot of time is like figuring out as you go. Advancement and promotion, that is a huge one. Wellness, work-life balance that we hear all the time, and workplace traditions. Yeah. You know, I remember when UPS, for 115 years, all our employees got a turkey every Christmas season. And during the downturn of the global economy, the turkey went away. And wow, that losing that workplace tradition, it impacted morale. And there's still people that are bitter today that we no longer get the turkey because it was around. It was such a big tradition. Mm. Policies and philosophies, you know, they could talk about dress code. So UPS, we allow blue jeans now. We allow polo shirts. We just made a change where you can wear sneakers to work. This is hugely different. I know workplaces that will allow you to wear pajamas, you know, so the, and then I know other ones. I have a great veteran nonprofit that is headquartered in New York City. They're old school. They're coming in the office 5 days a week, wearing that suit and jacket.
Yep.
It's definitely that. People. Wow, you could have the greatest culture in the world, but if you hire bad people, right, it's going to impact that workplace culture.
Yeah.
I was a victim of that as a leader early in my career. I had this amazing team. You know, I was getting great employee engagement in the scores, and I ended up getting hoodwinked by HR to take an employee that was getting laid off that just killed the culture. She was just a miserable person. And it killed the culture of that work group. And it took us a long time to kind of get over that and fix it. So people is important. Mission, vision, and values, you know, the clarity of the mission. A lot of organizations, if you go around and you ask their employees what the mission is, they don't know. So if you don't know your organization's mission, wow, it's, you know, how do you fit into that mission? Values is a big one. You've heard me say it a couple of times. If your values don't align with the organization's culture or the organization's values, you're going to be miserable regardless of how much money they pay you.
Yeah.
And then the work environment. You know, the work environment is huge. You know, in logistics, oftentimes, you know, we can be in un-air-conditioned environments. We can be in older buildings. And that was in the military and outside of the military. Commutes are part of work environment. Like, right, we have to deal with commutes here in Atlanta. And then communications. So I've got a great story for this. We made a big change to our benefits some years back ago. And we used to have, would post things on our internal intranet. And so when they made that change, they put it out on that intranet, left employee comments open. And then it ended up being a 3-day weekend, and the vile stuff going on, and it took it about a week and a half to 2 weeks before HR really reacted and then figure out it wasn't the best way to communicate. They actually ended up having town halls all over the country, in person and virtual, to like clarify the messaging, and it turns out it wasn't tens of thousands of people being impacted. It was like a couple hundred. So if your organization doesn't communicate well, it's going to impact the culture of the organization for sure.
Well said. So those are some elements to be looking for consciously. In fact, I would argue, Lloyd, as folks go into interviews or as they meet people from organizations or take tours of their buildings and offices, hey, be looking for signs from all those different categories. It'll help you in your own way assess the workplace culture. And where we're going next, Lloyd, will provide a neat benchmarking opportunity, I think, for folks out there. Because we're going to be talking about, for those amazing organizations out there with incredible workplace cultures, what are some of the elements that make those cultures so amazing? So, Lloyd, walk us through a few of these things here.
Yeah, we'll go quickly through these things. The first one is respect and trust in an organization. If you don't have respect and trust, and it's not only with leaders and employees, it's with each other. At UPS now, we have golden rules. And these golden rules help ensure there's respect and trust. Clear and shared vision. Make sure everybody know what the vision of the organization is. Employee empowerment. Wow, if you can empower your employees as much as possible, not micromanage them, That's going to be hugely important. Work-life balance. You know, there's a large logistics company slash retailer. Their old CEO used to have the saying, he wishes there was 25 hours in a day so he could work his people an hour longer. So you want to ensure work-life balance, recognition and appreciation. Everybody wants those two things. So it's good to be appreciated. Opportunities for growth. It's a big one for veterans transitioning. They come into these organizations that oftentimes are stagnant. It could either be the location, it could be the culture, it could be their skills. You know, most people don't want to hang out in the same role for the next 20 years. Teamwork and collaboration is so important. Transparency is huge. We know that there's organizations, especially these big Fortune 500 companies, are going to have to make tough decisions. So just be transparent with those tough decisions. You know, that's going to be really positively impact your culture versus if you're hiding things. Inclusivity and diversity, you know, those aren't all bad words like you hear today. Inclusivity and diversity, when handled right, bring a lot of value to the organization and bring a lot of value to culture. Low conflict and high feedback. Wow, when you have an organization that sees feedback as a gift, that's a great thing, versus feedback as just a corrective tool. Positive leadership. We talked about having those negative, toxic leaders. Wow, when you have some positive leadership, it just impacts so much. And then social connection. Honestly, that was a hard thing coming from the Air Force for me. You know, I was a first sergeant in the Air Force, very social at the end of my career. Came into UPS where people were working very hard. Our culture at the time, especially the building I was in, it wasn't very social. I used to say we're social responsible, but we're not social. However, that culture has changed at UPS. We have these wonderful business resource groups or communities. I got the opportunity to start the first veterans business resource group 13 years ago, and that really helped with connecting. And connecting is so, so important, especially to culture.
Well said. And folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you're interested in learning a whole bunch more and even diving into some of the great trainings that Lloyd offers through Nightwork, we're going to make sure you know how to connect with Lloyd in just a second. But before we get there, we're going to have a fast and furious finish, folks. So Lloyd, you have been on a roll. I've been trying to play catch up with all these great episodes you've been cranking out at Tango Tango. And really quick, Lloyd, explain the name. We might have some folks that are slow like me. Explain the name really quick.
Yeah, Tango Tango is stands for Top Talks. It's the phonetic for Top Talks. Top is a slang term for first sergeants. So Top Talks was already kind of in use by a couple of people. So we went with Tango Tango. And really, it's Tango Tango is just honest and open discussions. We tell stories. Nothing that I do is we don't script out anything.
Love it.
For the conversations that we have with veterans. I don't even give them like an overview. I'm like, we're going to jump on and we're just going to see where the conversation takes us. It could be 30 minutes. It could be 2 hours, but we're going to take the conversation as it takes us. And it's a lot of fun. And again, first sergeants are usually very direct. And so I love that you gave me the freedom to come on and do this.
Well, I feel like Iceman in Top Gun. Lloyd, you're dangerous. You're dangerous, Maverick. You're dangerous with that unscripted approach. But it works so well. Tuning in to some of these episodes, I love it. I really love the freedom and how it can really liberate the conversations and see where they go. So, and by the way, our team over at Supply Chain Now is tickled pink and really honored to support and sponsor Tango Tango. So folks, the best is yet to come. But I want you to tell us, Lloyd, about the most recent edition of Tango Tango, which I believe featured Steve Prince. Is that right?
Yeah, Steve Prince from Warrior Set Free, a big behemoth of a man, 6'8", based in Michigan. I went through one of their events, as they call it. Steve talks about his discussion or his story. You know, he's got a unique story, the good, the bad, and ugly of his life. And it was really honored to kind of cover it. We've had some amazing guests so far, Scott. We had somebody who was in Delta Force, Pat McNamara, for 16 years and Green Beret for wow. eight. We've had a retired four-star general, John Handy. We got Alex Witt coming up from Battle Bars. We got Lacey Gonneau from Camp Southern Ground, which is Zach Brown's camp for autistic kids and for veterans. So we've done some cool things, Scott, but the best is yet to come.
I completely agree. And again, I've got to pick my mouth off the floor with this parade, this ongoing parade of incredible guests that not only have you brought on the show, but the depth of the conversations you're having. So folks, stay tuned and find Tango Tango wherever you get your podcasts, and stay tuned for more lives. And by the way, let us know, let Lloyd know, what are you looking for? What topics would be helpful? So let us know what you're dying to talk more and learn more about. All right, Lloyd, as we wrap, how can folks connect with the one and only Lloyd Knight?
So if you are interested in night work, you know, go to a nightwork.us. You can kind of see what we're doing. But the easiest way to contact me is through LinkedIn. I'm highly responsive. So drop me a message. Give me some ideas. Give me some recommendations, suggestions. Sponsor the show. So we're always looking for a sponsor for the show. And I look forward to hearing from you. And if you're in Atlanta, look us up. You know, the next Vetlanta Summit is going to be August 20th at the College Football Hall of Fame. And then we're going to have a big presence at the Military Influencers Conference this year in Atlanta, starting on September 21st as well.
Outstanding. And there's big news there coming up. But we'll keep that cat in the bag, so to speak. All right. Lloyd Knight, what a great session here today. I really appreciate your tireless effort at informing, educating, supporting, advocating all for our veteran community and our all the veteran advocates out there. And I look forward to what's coming next when it comes to Tango Tango. So Lloyd, until next time, sign us off.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Amanda and Tricia, the entire Supply Chain Now team behind the scenes. It's just such an honor to do this. And in the meantime, be safe, be kind, and be remarkable.
The Tango Tango podcast is proudly sponsored by Supply Chain Now. Join the Tango Tango community for more inspiring stories. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Subscribe to the Tango Tango YouTube channel. And follow and listen to Tango Tango wherever you get your podcasts.